Hey there, welcome to the program. It's Gary Zimak, and it's another week. Today is Monday, August the 28th, the memorial of St. Augustine, one of the most important people in the history of the Catholic Church. Today we turn to St. Augustine, and we ask for his prayers so that we can ultimately get to know the Lord better and that we can stay on the path which will one day lead us to live with St. Augustine and all the saints and angels in heaven with the Lord. All right, today we've got a big show. I got so excited, I got a little carried away there. I got off the track. Today we're going to have a guest. Monica Hannon will be joining us. She's a guest. She's an author. She's a newscaster from North Dakota. She has written a book about the gift of death. I know that sounds like a complete wacky concept, but she has interviewed a number of people about death and dying. This is one of the greatest fears that those of us who are anxious will ever face. Many people are afraid of death. Monica came up with some very interesting results, and I'm going to play that interview later on in the program about her new book, The Gift of Death. We'll also look at the mass readings for Monday of the 21st week in Ordinary Time. So we've got a busy show, and before I forget, I want to remind you, we are just a week away from Labor Day, or September the 4th. We will begin preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary next week on the program. And here's the way it'll work. I'm going to spend about half of the show, 15 minutes of the program, preparing for total consecration. You don't have to worry about getting a book. I'm going to handle it. You just show up, you listen to the program, you download the podcast, however you want to do it. We're going to go through and we will prepare for 33 days. And yes, I will run through the weekends. On the weekends, I will do 15-minute shows, so you will have shows on Saturday and Sunday as well, just 15 minutes each in order to make it easier for both of us, but we will prepare for 33 days straight, as I have done for the past 6 years, the seventh year in a row that I'm doing this, and then on October the 7th, which is the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, we will consecrate our lives to Jesus through Mary. Simple prayer. I'll make sure I put it on the internet. You can read it along with me. You can go through with the consecration, or you can choose not to. So for the 33 days that lie ahead, beginning next Monday, we will be preparing for total consecration. We're not actually going to do it yet. We are preparing. And then, again, it's up to you on October the 7th to make that decision. Do I want to really turn my life over to the Blessed Mother in order to help me to get closer to Jesus in this life and to get to heaven in the next life when this life is over? You're going to hear a lot of information over those 33 days. You'll get to study the life of Christ. You'll get to study the life of the Blessed Mother. You'll get to learn what total consecration is all about. You'll get to look at yourself. And let's face it, we've fallen short. You know, we need help. And the Church offers this great method of helping us to get to heaven. If we don't take advantage of it, I'm a firm believer in this, if we don't take advantage of it, we're going to have to explain why it is that we decided that we knew better than the Church does. Again, I'm not going to force you to do it. I'm just giving you my opinion. I know that I need all the help that I can get because I fall short so many times. Total consecration to Jesus through Mary was popularized by St. Louis de Montfort in the 18th century. Many popes have embraced it. St. John Paul II loved total consecration. In fact, he used St. Louis de Montfort's, one of his mottos, Totus Tuus, totally yours, as his motto. Many other people were very devoted to total consecration. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, St. Maximilian Kolbe, among others. I'm trying to think of the others right now. The names are slipping, are escaping me, but there are many people throughout the years who have endorsed total consecration to Jesus through Mary, and we really want to take a serious look at it. It is life-changing. I first made my total consecration in 2011. I had Ray Mooney on the program. We did some pre-recorded interviews with him. You could still listen to those podcasts. Ray is the guy who first introduced me to total consecration. It has changed my life for the better, and that's why I've done it for so many years on the program. So we'll do 15 minutes, and then we'll do 15 minutes on the mass reading. So the show will stay the same Monday through Friday. It'll still be 30 minutes, and I recommend you listen. We're going to stop the interviews for the duration of September until after total consecration because I really believe that this is important. Even if you decide or if you're on the fence, listen to the meditations. You're going to get something out of them either way. Then you can make that decision. Are you ready to consecrate your life? And even when you do it, if you go through on the 7th of October and say, yes, I consecrate my life to Jesus through Mary, you could change your mind. There's no sin involved, just a simple act of the will. You say, Lord, I made a mistake. I don't want to go through with this. That's all you have to do. So it all begins next Monday. Also, for you worriers out there, I want to encourage you to check out my new podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, the only podcast created specifically for worriers. You can subscribe at the daily level. You can subscribe weekly. You can subscribe monthly, whatever works for you. Please consider it. Give it a shot. I think it will change your life, and let your friends know that it exists as well. Of course, you already know about this show. I am taking the week off from Spirit in the Morning, which is my morning show in Philadelphia. Taking the week off, and we will be back after Labor Day, but you can listen to that show too if you like some uplifting music, if you like great guests, if you like some inspiring talk, 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, and the podcasts are available at spiritinthemorning.com. Okay, that's the business for today. Let's do our prayer, and then we will get right into the Mass readings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this opportunity to come together on Blog Talk Radio, to spend some time with you, to listen to you speak through the readings. Father, we thank you for the fact that you love us unconditionally. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask you to help those who are struggling, especially with the floods in Texas right now. We know that you have the power to make the rain stop. So we will ask you that, Father, to make the rain stop. Please allow people to be able to escape if they're trapped. Please assist the rescuers and help them all, everyone involved, to never lose hope that things can turn around. Father, we ask you to heal those who are sick. We ask you to help those who are anxious, who are lonely, those who might be struggling with doubt, despair, or even addiction. Father, I ask you to speak through me on the program today. Send your Holy Spirit to come alive so that your message can be proclaimed. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of course, we say St. Augustine, please pray for us. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good St. Joseph, pray for us. All right, ready to get started? Ready to look at some Mass readings? Again, you were listening to The Gary Zimak Show. I am, you guessed it, Gary Zimak. I know it took me years to come up with that title. A lot of work, a lot of research went into it, but that's the title I came up with. And I think it's great that we can hang out together. We could sit around at the table, in the car. I'm riding. How about this for a thought? Sometimes I'll say we're sitting around the table sharing a beverage. By the way, forgot my beverage du jour today, and I've got some good stuff. I'll have to break it out tomorrow. I say we're sitting around the table, right? We have a cup of coffee. We've got a beverage. We've got a snack, bowl of goldfish crackers, the pizza-flavored ones. They're my favorites in front of us. Boy, that makes me hungry. I'm not going to try to eat those on the air. That does not work, especially when you're doing radio. So I could be there. I could also be in the passenger seat of your car. How's that for a scary thought? Wherever we are today, we're hanging out together, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Today's first reading is a reading from the beginning of the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, way back in chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, remembering you in our prayers, unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith and labor of love and endurance in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father, knowing, brothers and sisters, loved by God, how you were chosen. For our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with much conviction. You know what sort of people we were among you for your sake. In every place, your faith in God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves openly declare about us what sort of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to await his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the coming wrath. You know, when we look at a passage like this, one of the first things that can come to mind, and this is not correct, this is not a good way to think, is that, well, these people turn from idols to the Lord. We can't relate because we don't worship idols. We worship idols all the time. They might not be golden calves, but don't kid yourself. We all worship idols. For years, I worshipped the idol of comfort, the idol of pleasure, the idol of money, the idol of possessions, the idol of all kinds of things that I used to collect. I put everything in the place of God. That's what I did. My life for decades, all right, not just a couple of years, for decades, my life was all about pleasure. What can I do to make myself feel good? I didn't really care about other people. I cared about Gary. That was it. I was worshiping all kinds of idols. But, you know, we forget that. We don't want to, or we don't recognize it. We think we are not idol worshipers. We are the same as these Thessalonians. We're turning from worshiping idols to worshiping the Lord. And how do I know that? Well, you're listening to this program. If you're an idol worshiper, if you love comfort, you're not going to be listening to a show like this. Or at least you're on the road. You're on the road to turning away from pleasure seeking and turning to the Lord. Now, this, of course, does not mean that you can't ever seek pleasure in this life. You can. But it's just a matter of priorities. Are you praying every day? Are you praying sufficiently? What do you do when you're upset? Do you just turn on a movie or do you pray? I mean, these are questions you can ask yourself to assess your relationship with the Lord. Do you go to Him first as soon as you have a problem? Do you go to Him when you don't have a problem? The first thing you wake up, do you say, Lord, thank you for giving me a new day? I mean, these are things you can ask yourself. So just like the people, the citizens of Thessalonica, we are turning from worshiping idols to worshiping the Lord. That's a good thing. It's a process. We're on the road. The other thing is, Paul mentions that the gospel does not come to us in word alone, but in power and in the Holy Spirit. When we read the gospel, when we read the entire Bible, it's the inspired word of God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when we read these words, these are just not words alone. These are words that come about through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so furthermore, when I listen to the scriptures, when I hear these words, the Lord is speaking directly to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't say God never speaks to me as long as we have a Bible and we use our Bible. So He just spoke to us in these words. Let's not forget that. That's incredibly important. It's a great way. I love being able to sit here and look at these scripture readings every day on the program. It helps me tremendously because the Lord just spoke to me and reminded me that this is not just reading a book. I'm just not reading a bunch of words on paper. He just spoke directly to me. Now, He's going to say something a little different to each one of us. But He is speaking to us. Let's look at the psalm today, Psalm 149, something we should all remember. The Lord takes delight in His people. The Lord's taking delight in you today. Sing to the Lord a new song of praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in their Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise His name in the festive dance. Let them sing praise to Him with timbrel and harp, for the Lord loves His people. And He adorns the lowly with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats. This is the glory of His faithful. Alleluia. Take comfort in the fact that the Lord takes delight in you. It might not feel like it. You might feel like you're just a number. You're insignificant because that's the way the world makes us feel. Doesn't it? We're a bunch of nobodies. No. The Lord takes delight in you. This is the inspired word of God. I'm not making this up. This is not just somebody's opinion. The inspired word of God. These words were inspired by the Holy Spirit. You can take it to the bank. The Lord takes delight in you. No matter how badly you feel about yourself, read that over and over again. He takes delight in you. That is a really cool thing. Today's gospel comes from Matthew chapter 23. Verses 13 through 22, Jesus said to the crowds and to His disciples, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You lock the kingdom of heaven before men. You do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You traverse sea and land to make one convert, And when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna, twice as much as yourselves. Woe to you blind guides who say if one swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated. Blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that made the gold sacred? And you say if one swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated. You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. One who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it. All right, where do we go with this one? Well, that's a brutal one. Well, let's keep the message simple, because it is a simple message, but it's one we need to hear. Sometimes we get a little too self-righteous. We think that, all right, I'm listening to Catholic radio, I'm going to daily mass, I say my prayers every day, I read the Bible, I'm better than the guy down the street. You're not. You're not. None of us are better. And that's what we need to remember. Am I living the gospel? There are people who don't go to church at all who are living the gospel better than we are. I'm not saying they're not going to be accountable for not going to church one day. That's not my call. That's God's call. But what I need to do is not just listen to the words of the Lord, not just be able to know the catechism inside and out. That's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But if I'm not living it, if I'm not putting the teachings of the Catholic Church into practice every day in the world, then I'm going to have a big problem when I'm judged. I think sometimes we get a little too comfortable with our Catholic faith, thinking that it's just a matter of going to Mass, reading my devotional, reading my Bible. No, it's how you put what you read into practice. So today, I'm going to challenge you. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, where am I falling short? You know, we got to start depending on the Holy Spirit. He's not an abstract concept. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. If you're baptized, you have received the Holy Spirit. You've got him inside of you. Ask him, Holy Spirit, where am I falling short? And see what he says. And then you know what the next step is. You don't need me to tell you the next step is. Put it into practice. That's what Jesus wants you to do. All right, I'm going to take a break now. When we come back, Monica Hannon will join us to talk about her book, The Gift of Death. As a reminder, you are listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. After graduating college, Jim Zelkowski hitchhiked around the world and saw overwhelming poverty in places like India and Nepal. One day he passed through a village where they were celebrating the opening of a school. Jim realized how powerful education can be. When he returned to the U.S., he eventually started the nonprofit Build On to build schools in poor countries using inner-city youth from America. Beyond good intentions, though, Jim had no idea how to accomplish that task. He felt paralyzed by fear until one night he opened his Bible and read Jesus' words, "Fear is useless, what is needed is trust." Jim got the courage to ask for help, and today Build On has built over 600 schools in developing countries. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
My next guest is here to talk about the gift of death and how it can be a message of comfort and hope. Monica Hannon joins me right now. She is an award-winning broadcast journalist, and she has written this book. Monica, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Monica, A Gift of Death. Boy, when you hear this title, I think a lot of our listeners are going to cringe and say, what are you talking about? The Gift of Death. How did you decide to write this book?
Well, I have to tell you, it came to me maybe a decade ago. My father was ill,
right,
and he was afraid of dying, and I could not get him to talk about it.
Wow.
And I thought that, you know, if he talked about it, it would help. So I thought, well, you know, he's proud of me, and if I write a book, I know he'll read it.
Right.
So that was kind of the jumping off point for me. You know, after that, it became fascinating to me as well, because I realized that, you know, I had a little bit of an anxiety about it, and I think most people do, of course. And I think when you really delve into it, you realize that death is a gift, because there is the gateway to eternal life.
And there you go. And let's talk about this a little bit more. Monica, you were raised Catholic, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
So we do have that belief that death is the gateway to eternal life. What do you think is it about death that scares so many people?
Well, I think that first of all, God puts it there because he wants you to value the life that you have here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's a big part of it. But also I think it's the unknown. It's
right.
Just that we have no idea what's really going to happen, and we're so comfortable here. But I do know, after doing all of my research, I don't know what it is, but it's going to be good.
Wow. Well, and you really believe that do you feel that the book has changed, doing the research for the book has changed your outlook as well?
Oh, completely.
Wow.
You know, ironically, my dad never had a chance to read the book. He died before it was finished. But if you do read the book, then you realize, you hear that by the time he actually passed away, I know he was no longer afraid either.
Wow, that's great to hear. Now, let's talk a little bit about the book, the format. Tell me about how the book is laid out and what we can expect if we pick up The Gift of Death.
Well, it is a little bit my father's story, but also I talked to many, many people, religious, priests, ministers,
mm-hmm.
I talked to hospice workers, people who work with the dying, and what I heard was their stories of encounters that they've had with those who have died. There are also some near-death experiences in there, which I think many of us are familiar with,
you know,
and they're fairly classic. And then I have stories of people who have been with the dying and the amazing things that happen leading up to the moment of death. You know, it can be a quiet thing and yet very profound.
Do you find that level of faith makes a difference in terms of one being afraid of dying?
I think it does. I don't know that eliminates people's anxiety
right.
altogether, because, as I said, God puts that there for a reason.
Yeah.
But I do think that if you have faith and you go into it with that faith in God, that, the thing that people need to remember is that God loves them so much. All you have to do is reach out and he'll reach back. You don't need to be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Did you interview any people in the book who really didn't believe in God?
Or had a limited belief, maybe? Yeah, there were limited beliefs, yes. Yes, I did talk to people who were surprised at how things happened, and it did kind of cement their faith. For instance, hospice workers who, in dealing with people who reach out at the end of death, many people reach out and reach towards something or smile. People who've been in profound comas, for instance, will wake up just for those last few minutes and be able to even talk to people, say goodbye, and then
mm-hmm.
reach out. And, these are, once you have that experience, I believe that it's very difficult after that to not believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. Now, it's when I look back at my own life, I had two experiences pop into my mind. First is my father, who was diagnosed with lung cancer back in 2002. He died a month later of a heart attack. Totally not the way I planned it. But with my dad, we basically didn't. I mean, my dad believed in God. He went to church each week, but we didn't talk about death. We just tried to ignore it, to talk about other things, and I don't know how afraid he was, to be honest with you. He didn't really want to talk about it too much. But my mother-in-law was diagnosed with leukemia about five, six years ago. She passed away after about a six-month struggle. She had a very, very strong faith, and we had that discussion many times. And it's interesting what she said to me. She said, "Gary, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid what comes after. I'm just afraid of the suffering that I'm going to have to go through before there." Have you dealt with people who have said that? "I'm not afraid of the afterlife. I'm not, because I know where I'm going, but I'm just afraid of making it there through the suffering."
Well, I think that's very common. And
okay.
I can say at that point is, in our the gift of modern medicine, palliative care is very important.
Right.
And it does a lot to bring, it's not going to eliminate suffering completely.
Right.
But also there's I think a lot of people, my father, for instance, wasn't awake. And if he was suffering, there sure wasn't evidence of it. And a lot of times people, you see people who are dying and they seem to be agitated. But
right.
in many cases, according to hospice workers, they're just going through the work. Dying
oh,
is work.
Okay.
Like, for instance, I have a story of a man who was agitated. He looked like he kept moving his hands and his legs and his arms, and he kept, thrashing around in the bed. And So the hospice workers said, well, okay, what did he do for a living? And they said, well, he was a lineman. He was a line worker for the telephone company. So she went in and she said, you know, George, it's time to take a break. It's time for your coffee break. And he immediately stopped thrashing. And he was quiet and calm for exactly 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he started up again because she said he was just kind of reliving and doing the work that he needed to do in order to be ready. So, you know, who knows what kind of purpose that plays. But I think that if you realize the person isn't in pain and suffering, but rather just kind of working toward what they need to do, you know, it gives you a little bit different perspective on it.
Oh,
sure. And also, as you know, there is purpose to some suffering.
Right, right.
You know, and so nobody wants to do it, but if there's a purpose for it and you know, God is using that, then it might give you a little bit different aspect, too.
It certainly does, because we don't want to waste any of our suffering. That's one of the beautiful things about our Catholic faith, this idea of redemptive suffering and really being able to use it, unite it with the suffering of Christ. Really, really powerful thing. Monica, one of the things I like about the book is that before each chapter, you have a scripture verse. I'm going to read one of them now. And I really like this because in a lot of my books, when I speak about overcoming anxiety, this is the same technique that I use. Because when we hear the Lord speak to us through scripture, he does bring us a lot of comfort. But one of the chapters has this as a start, John 14:3. The words of Jesus, I am indeed going to prepare a place for you, and then I shall come back to take you with me, that where I am, you also may be. Now, that's a great verse. You are someone who works in the news industry, so you deal very much in reality. And this is not the kind of message we hear in the world. We become so overcome by events, by things, by material things, by comfort, that we lose sight of this message of Jesus. Monica, what do we do to be able to remember that this life isn't the end of the story, and it's going to be good one day as long as we stick with the Lord?
Well, I think part of it is prayer and getting to know the Lord,
right.
having a personal, you know, I mean, if you're talking to him every day, then you know he's with you,
yep.
And you can feel him in your life. I think if you're too busy, well, as Mother Teresa said, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that to me has been, I haven't always been what you would call, you know, tuned in. I mean, I've always been a Mass goer, I've always been Catholic.
Sure.
But writing the book actually kind of turned me into a revert a little bit in that, you know, God kind of reached out and grabbed me while I was writing the book. And I think that that's a fine example. He takes every opportunity to do that because he wants you, you know, Jesus wants you close. And, you know, so now it's changed my life completely, and I'm talking to him all the time, you know, just constantly. And so I feel definitely like he's right there beside me, and so there is a place for me because, you know, he's just part of my life and he surrounds me, and I feel the Holy Spirit all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a big thing, is to turn your attention toward God, and he will grab you, pull you right in.
I agree. I totally agree. The book is A Gift of Death, A Message of Comfort and Hope by Monica Hannon. Monica, where is the best place we can get a copy of the book or maybe find out more about your work?
You can go to my website. It's monicahannon.com.
Okay.
That's all A's and N's on that Hannon there.
Okay.
And also you can pick it up at Amazon.
Wonderful. And what I'll do is I'll make sure that I link that at spiritinthemorning.com so anybody who wants to check it out can check it out. Monica, I want to thank you so much for getting up early to join us here on Spirit in the Morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the chance to talk about it.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serva. In Matthew 23:13, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You traverse sea and land to make one convert, and when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna twice as much as yourselves. And you say, if one swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated. You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred?" What the scribes and Pharisees were doing was reprehensible to our blessed Lord. By their dishonesty, they were duping his people, and in the name of God no less. Nothing angered him more than pretense and dishonesty, but especially at the expense of the lowly. He only came for the lowly, who recognized their lowliness. Get it? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to thank you again for tuning in. God willing, we'll be back tomorrow night. Remember, total consecration to Jesus through Mary begins right here on September 4th. Get ready. It's going to be good. Until next time, God bless you. Thanks for listening. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.